We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. How's your day going today? Hopefully traffic's not too bad as you're on your way to work and you're staying safe on the roads. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, Thursday, September the 10th, 2015. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So just want to invite you out to be a part of our services this coming week. I will be preaching. We have our Sunday morning service, and we have our grow groups. We have small groups that meet on the second and the fourth Sunday nights of the month. And that happens three times or twice during the year, January, February, March, and then again in August, September, and October. And then outside of that, all of our other Sunday night services are at the church, barring holidays and fifth Sundays. But we'd like to have you come and join us. We are studying in our grow groups, Get Out of That Pit, a book by Beth Moore. And on the cover of her book, she says, a former pit dweller. And, you know, I like hearing from people who've been where I've been, and they know the way out. And so if you've got some issues in your life, we want to invite you out to be a part of that. That grow group actually meets in our home, and we're excited about that. That's coming up this weekend. Today we're going to turn in the Word back to Genesis, the 46th chapter, Genesis 46, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 31. Genesis 46 and verse 31 says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, 'I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation, that you shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" I want to start off today just making a genealogical correction here. Jacob was actually 130 when he went to Egypt and has his discussions with Pharaoh, and he lived in Egypt for 17 years. He died at the age of 147. So I'd got those numbers slightly off the other day on a broadcast, and so I thought I would make sure that we came in and corrected that. So here we're talking, just to set the stage for you, what we had talked about on yesterday's broadcast was that Joseph and Jacob had their reunion. They had, enjoyed that. They wept together for a good while. And then Jacob said that he was ready to die as a result of that. And the reality was God still had 17 more years for Jacob left in the land of Egypt. And so I don't know about you, but I want to make the most out of the days that God has given to me. I don't want to miss any opportunities anymore. I want to make the most out of those things that God has given. So then after the reunion, excuse my throat here, Joseph begins to prepare his father and his brothers for their encounter with Pharaoh. Remember, Joseph was the one who was familiar with the culture in Pharaoh's court. So he was preparing his brothers on that encounter. He's preparing his father. And so we're gonna talk about this. It's a really fascinating encounter. So Joseph begins to tell him, now this is what I am going to do. I am going to go up and I'm going to tell Pharaoh that my family have come to me. That's what it is, that you all have come to me from the land of Canaan. And he says, the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock. If you remember, in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, I'm turning pages here as we speak. In John, the 21st chapter, you will see that in verse number 15, it said, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And you can read more about the way that he operates as the shepherd in our life. You can see that in the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. We've talked about that on a previous occasion, and so I'm not going to take up a lot of time there. But a shepherd is very concerned about feeding the sheep. A little over a week ago, there was an article that made its way through the news wires about a sheep that had gotten lost from its flock, and it had managed to survive, but it had become overgrown with wool. I don't know how long it had been since the sheep had been shorn. I don't know how long it had been since he had been tended to, but he was in a life-threatening condition because he had not had his coat tended to. When they gave him a haircut, if you will, His wool weighed 84 pounds, because he had been away from the shepherd's care, and things that the shepherd would have ordinarily taken care of had become very unwieldy. And it's the sheep is actually just fortunate that it had survived that length of time. The shepherd has great concern and compassion for the sheep, and Joseph is going to instruct Pharaoh that his father and his brothers, that they are all shepherds. Remember, that's what Joseph had gone to do in the first place, was to check on his brothers and the sheep. And it says here that one of those primary obligations is to feed the livestock. Make sure that they have something to eat. I have been in meetings with our district superintendent, and he would talk about discussions about people, and they would say, but there's just nothing left to preach. And he's like, you have the living word of God that's quick and powerful and able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and penetrate to the joints and the marrow. 66 books. In my particular Bible, which is a very large print Bible, it's over 1,850 pages of the living Word of God. Feed the sheep, and so remember, that's what these did. This is the occupation that made Abraham into a man who transformed from a nomad into a person of great substance, great wealth, that their flocks had increased to the point that his flock and Lot's could no longer share the same pasture anymore. There wasn't enough. And so they said, we are going to have to separate, because the primary responsibility we have is feed the sheep. Take care of them. And Jesus, when he's entrusting the care of the church into the hands of the apostles, and specifically Peter at this particular point in time, he says, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Husbands, if you love your wives, the scripture talks about wash them with the water of the word of God. Feed them, build them up. This is such a challenging environment that people live in, where there's just all sorts of insults that go out and all sorts of things that are designed to undermine. And one of the ways that we can overcome that is to make sure that those in our care are fed properly. There's a passage that talks about the anointing that breaks the yoke. But when you, and a lot of times we think of that anointing as an external force that comes in and destroys it from the outside in. But if you look at that passage of scripture, you look into the Hebrew, you are going to find that what has happened is because the animal that, or the person being represented under a yoke at this point in time, has been fed so much and has become so strong, has been so thoroughly equipped in the Word of God, that the yoke that once held them is now broken because of the internal strength that God has placed inside of them. If Jesus lives inside of you, the scripture says it's the fullness of God that dwells in you. The omnipotence of God, the Almighty God, is fully functional in your life. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. As a pastor, my primary responsibility is to make sure that people are fed the Word of God. Jesus said that He is the Word. He is the Word. So we preach Jesus. And I am unapologetic about preaching the life of my Savior, how much we need Him. I am not ashamed to say that we are sinners in need of a Savior. I'm not ashamed to say that the things that the Bible calls sin, they are still sin. So we need to make sure that we are taking care and making sure that the spiritual food is supplied. The Bible says that if we do not take care of our family, that we are worse than unbelievers. And I want to make sure that the family is fed spiritually. I also want to make sure that they have food physically. I like to tell funny stories, and so hopefully you will laugh at some of these stories that I share from time to time. But when my children were little, we spent 7 years in very small confines. There was not the possibility of having a pet. We had a pet when we were in Texas. And then we moved here and were unable to bring the pet along with us. So my son got to the place and he said, Dad, I want a dog. And I'm a dog guy. I'm a dog guy. For all of you cat people, you've got one more person that you can take their share of cats, because, you know, and I know people, they love cats, and I'm thankful that there's people that love the cats. But I'm a dog guy. And specifically, I said, I want a dog that's a big dog. I don't want a little yapper dog or anything like that. I want a dog that, you can wrestle with, if you will. And so my son, he comes to me and he says, Dad, when can we get a dog? And my response was, as soon as we can afford to feed you kids. I want you to know we eventually were able to feed all the kids, take care of the kids, and we got into a position, and so we decided that it was time to get a dog. That dog fell in love with my youngest daughter, so we tried again with another dog, and that dog fell in love with my middle daughter, and finally we got a third dog, and that dog fell in love with our son. And so all three kids ended up with their own dog. And unfortunately, two of them have not they're no longer with us. My son's dog is still around, and he absolutely loves her to pieces. So, by the way, my daughter got another dog, so we're good on dogs. That one dog's got more energy than those other three dogs had combined. So, Joseph says they've fed livestock. They have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen." Now remember, Goshen was the best of the land of Egypt. Joseph is, he is not fabricating facts. He's telling the truth. But his desire was to place his father and his brothers in the best of the land of Egypt. And in order for them to get there, they had to have an occupation that was suitable for that land. And that land required shepherds. And so he says, "Now I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to talk to Pharaoh. But when he comes in, he's going to ask you this question. And he's going to ask you this: what is your occupation? What do you do?" You see, everybody needs to do something. These particular people were shepherds. See, they weren't just coming there like they were on vacation. Pharaoh was welcoming them into the land of Egypt, but they needed an occupation. The question he asked them is, "What is your occupation? What type of work do you do?" Now, I've talked on here before that we men tend to identify with our occupation. And then when we either hit retirement or that job ends, a lot of times men can go into an identity crisis because their identity has been so tied up in the job that they did instead of the Savior that they serve. So I want to take it, you know, and I do want to challenge you, because you need to have some sort of job. Even if it is, if you don't have an employer that you work for, there was a man in our church. He was very, very important in the early days of our church. His family is still in our church, and we're so thankful for them. But that man, even though he was retired, he went out and he gathered up aluminum cans. And when I'm talking gathered aluminum cans, I'm not talking just a few. He had a little storage building. I went and saw him one day, and there were garbage bags filled with aluminum cans. And he had rigged up this can crusher. It really was quite interesting. And even though he was retired, even though he was collecting, you know, Social Security and I don't know what other sources of income he had, if any, he might not have had any other than just his social. He said, "I can go out and do this." And it served two responsibilities. And that was, one, it provided him with a little bit of additional income. And the second was, it helped keep Brevard a beautiful place to live. It cleaned up the trash and the debris from the roadside that people were throwing away. So I want to ask you, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do for a living? Because if you're just sitting there waiting for your dream job to come knocking on your door, I want you to know that that's not occupying till he comes. Now, I know that there are some that have physical limitations and things like that. So maybe you could be an encourager. Maybe you could be a person who builds up and trains. I've known people who still knew, they still had the knowledge to do the job. They just didn't have the physical dexterity to be able to do a job anymore. And so they were there as a consultant there. They were there to coach a younger person on how to accomplish the task, because that person might have the capabilities without the knowledge, but the person with the knowledge didn't have the capabilities. And so they were partnered together to accomplish a project. One of the men in church, we were talking about an issue, and it was going to require some creative engineering. And it's just so funny. He said, well, Pastor, he said, if you get on this project and I get on this project, and it's a little bitty thing. We're not talking. He said, if we get one more really skilled person on it, we might have enough to come up with it. I want you to know that the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is looking for people. God has created works for you to do from before the foundation of the world. What is your occupation? What is your occupation in the church? What do you do at church? Are you a nursery worker? See, in the church, there aren't supposed to be spectators. There are supposed to be participants. They are known as worshipers. And thank God if you are a person of prayer. Thank the Lord for that. But we also need evangelists. We need apostles. We need pastors and teachers. We need facilities managers. I came face to face with the reality of how important parking personnel could be when your church begins to get to a point where you're near capacity. There are all sorts of things that are needed in the body of Christ. At Merit Assembly of God, you know, we have a growing a ministry to kids and youth, and there are a number of holes that we keep trying to fill there with the people that God has called to reach and train those boys. What's your occupation? What do you do? Shock your pastor this week and go up to him and say, hey, I want to get involved on a regular basis here at the church. And guys, it might be something to do with the facilities. I've got a man who has relieved me of a number of things when it comes to facilities maintenance. I've got a couple of people now, and one of them said, Pastor, you don't ever have to worry about this stuff again. We've got this. You do what you are called to do, and we will take care of this issue. So today, if you were having a meeting with me, and I asked you, well, what do you do in the local church? Because I believe everybody should be doing something. They said, we've been taking care of livestock from our youth. And so here I'm gonna throw out this challenge. Let's not wait until we all get gray-headed before we start letting young people participate in the ministry of the gospel. After all, they can reach their generation better than we can. Okay? Someone once said, isn't it interesting that in America, we will trust young men with millions of dollars worth of military equipment, and yet in the church, we won't even trust them to do the smallest of tasks. I want you to know that that's not my mindset. I want to help train up people. One of my favorite stories was a person, and they had a desire to be the drummer, and this goes way back, and they moved out of the area, but just a young person, you know, 13, 14, 15, somewhere around in there, they wanted to be the drummer. We have electronic drums, and so they came up there, and honestly, they weren't very good. They weren't. But we turned the volume all the way down, but they're up there, but you know what happened? Every week he got better. Every week he got better. By the time he graduated high school and moved away, he was absolutely phenomenal. A wonderful, wonderful drummer. What have you been doing since you were young? You know, they told David, they said, David, you cannot go out there and confront Goliath because you are just a youth, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And I look at, you can go back, look at it there in 1 Samuel, and you'll see that that's exactly what they say. You're too young to go out there, and here is their champion, and he's been killing people. He's been defeating enemies since he was a youth. You know what that very statement says? Is he started when he was young. If our young people will get involved in ministry younger instead of just being spectators, then they will become champions. They will become more effective. That is That is what our goal is when we're talking about restoring value spiritually and relationally, we're talking about purpose. We are talking about people realizing that they are a gift from God, that they have special skills. And they said, Pharaoh, we've been doing this from our youth. I'm starting to run out a little time here. Already mentioned that the goal, Joseph's goal, was to get them into the land of Goshen because that was the best of the land. The chapter 46 ends with a very troubling statement. It says, "For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." In other words, the reason that they needed shepherds was because the Egyptians believed that that occupation was beneath them. We've already talked about how when Joseph sat in his house, that they set him separately from the rest of them because Hebrews were an abomination. It was racism. And I want you to know that racism should not exist in the house of God. I also want you to know that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and that there should not be any responsibility, whatever it might be, in the church that is beneath us. I've heard there was a presidential candidate I heard recently, and he said, "My job at my church is every Sunday that I'm there is to shuttle people from the parking lot to the door. I drive one of those golf carts." And so that's what he does in his church. And he's running for president of the United States. I loved that. I've known of surgeons that's what they did, that they would carry an umbrella so that over people so that they would be dry when they got into the church. And yet there are some people that say, you know what, that job is just beneath me. Do you realize that Elisha's ministry to Elijah originally was pouring water on his hands? That's what he did. And yet one day he was a person who did a great number of miracles. I think it is time that we stopped looking down on people for the task that they've got. Go up to your sound man. There's two people in church that receive a lot of criticism. One is the sound person, and the second is the worship leader. Those two jobs are extremely thankless jobs. Somebody should go up to them and say, "You know what? Thank you for using your gifts for the glory of God." Find something to do at your church. Go up to your pastor and say, "Hey, what do you need me to do? You know what? As a pastor, I have cleaned a lot of toilets. I've vacuumed a lot of floors, picked up a lot of trash. It doesn't mean that's what I do all of the time, but sometimes I'm the one that's there when the need becomes evident, shall we say." And so I want to encourage you, don't look down on people in church just because of the task that they are doing. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."